Hello, Mount Olive Church family and guest viewers. We welcome you to our Easter Sunday morning service. This is not what any of us had hoped Easter Sunday morning would be like, but we're gathered in our homes to worship together with our families. We're glad that you're able to view the service through Facebook and through our website, and hope that you'll enjoy the service. Also hope that you'll enjoy this Easter Sunday with your family as you gather in your homes and enjoy the company of one another and share the joys of Easter and all that it means to each of us. I want to say thank you to our Mount Olive Church family for your generous gifts, to our regular offering, and especially to our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're at $7,000, just $500 short of our goal. Considering all the circumstances we're going through, that is a tremendous offering. Thank you for all that you do. Worship with your family today. Have a blessed day.
As Jesus' mother, I could only imagine how long he must have felt as the crowds cried, "Crucify him," or how he even survived as the Romans scourging brought him near to death. But I also know he was the only one who could carry that cross and erase our sin once and for all.
Amen.
I was torn between the death of my son and the love he had for all mankind.
Thank you.
open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 20 as we read the words of the Apostle John concerning the empty tomb. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this time to meet and to worship together, to reflect upon the meaning of the crucifixion and the resurrection, the significance of an empty tomb. Focus our hearts and our minds as we worship you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In reading from the Gospel of John about the empty tomb, each one of the gospel writers includes different details concerning the empty tomb. I think it's interesting the things that John has to say. There are three things that we want to talk about this morning. Number one, their discovery, what they found when they came to the tomb. Secondly, their declaration, what they said about what they experienced at the tomb. And then thirdly, their decision that they made following that. We begin with the words in the first verse on the first day of the week that Mary Magdalene and the other scripture writers tell us that there were others that came with her to the tomb early in the morning. They discovered the tomb was open. And we don't know, but we're fairly certain that they did look in the tomb enough to know that it was empty. Jesus was not there by what she reported to the disciples when she came to them. So they came to the tomb, they saw it. They ran to take word to his disciples that they might be able to discover exactly what had taken place at the tomb. They were not thinking resurrection. They were thinking a stolen body. So they came and they found an open tomb. Open tombs are not something that we long to see. But this is what they found, and this is what happened following that. So they discovered that there was an open tomb. She went to take the word to the disciples to let them know. She encountered Simon Peter and John that was with him. And she reported to them what she had found when they came to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. She came and told them that his body was not there, and they did not know where he had been taken. This was deeply concerning for them. Peter and John then began to make their way to the tomb. And still they did not know what they were going to find. And they were not thinking about a resurrection as we understand resurrection. They were thinking that his body had been taken. This had been widely reported. That's one of the reasons the tomb had been sealed with the emperor's seal. Guards from the emperor's guard duty had been placed on duty to keep watch over the grave so that the followers of Christ would not come and take his body away, or that grave robbers would not come and take his body away. And none of that had happened. But they came and they found this empty tomb, and they found an open tomb. It was available for them to go in and see. There was nothing there except the grave clothes that he was buried in. Now, it makes no sense that grave clothes would have been left. Why would grave robbers come and take the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and leave his clothes there? Why would his followers come and take his body and leave his clothes there? Why was the clothes there? Why was that the thing that is left? And we'll talk about that as we go through and we examine what they experienced as they entered the tomb. So they found an open tomb, they found an empty tomb, and thirdly, they found an orderly tomb. It tells us, first of all, that they saw the grave clothes that were lying there. In that verse, it says they just simply saw the grave clothes. Why were the grave clothes there? This begins a series of words that are used here in this text that they saw. It's interesting that in the three times that it appears in this text, each time it is a different word. Here it refers simply to a casual glance that was made concerning the tomb. When Peter came to the tomb and he found the grave clothes, the linen clothes, lying there, he had made just a casual glance of the tomb and he discovered that these clothes were there. Then secondly, there is that next time that we talk about the word that they saw. After they looked down, stooped down, looked in, and saw the linen clothes, and did not go in. When Simon Peter came in, and the other disciple came in, they saw the clothes. And then in verse 7, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. In a resurrection, who would take the time to put part of the grave clothes in one place and part of the grave clothes in another place? Is there significance? Is there great meaning? The word saw, where they saw the grave clothes lying there, and they saw the linen napkin or handkerchief folded and lying in another place. The word that's used there means more than a glance, more than an observation. This was a careful examination of what they had seen in the tomb. And they saw this handkerchief that had covered the face of Jesus, folded together and lying in another place. Maybe this spoke a message to them. In the culture of that day, it was common if you visited in the home of a relative or a friend or an acquaintance, and you shared a meal with that family. At the close of the meal, if you were finished with your meal and left and would not return, you simply crumpled your napkin and dropped it in your plate or by your plate and walked away from the meal, and that was the end of it. However, if you needed to be excused from the table for some other reason and that you planned to return and you were not finished with your meal, you would simply fold your napkin neatly and lay it in place, excuse yourself, and come back later. Did Jesus intentionally do this to give to these disciples a message and a reminder? I'm not finished yet. I will be back. Certainly he would be back. He would meet the disciples again before his ascension into heaven. And he'll be back when he returns again for his church. So we find an orderly tomb with a profound and significant message for the disciples. Is that what John meant when he penned the words, "For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead"? Is that what John was talking about when he said he saw and believed? Did he now understand what had taken place, at least part of what had taken place? So we have the resurrection, we have an open tomb, we have an empty tomb, we have an orderly tomb. What does that mean to us? Number one, it means that the power of the resurrection is power over death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26, it talks about defeating the final enemy, and that enemy is death. He has power over demons. The work of the devil had been throughout the earthly ministry of Jesus to silence him, to put an end to his life and to his ministry, and now he had been put in the grave, but not for long. He was just there for 3 days and would rise again. Thirdly, he had power over deterioration. It is a scientific fact that the human body begins to decay immediately following death. It's told that, or I've heard that after about 10 minutes, that the brain is irreparably damaged. In a matter of hours, the blood begins to thicken, and it's impossible for life to exist after that. Even in Jewish culture, they believe that after 3 days, the spirit had left the body. We know from what the scripture teaches us that immediately following death, the spirit has left the body. So all these things had happened. And the power of the resurrection has authority over all those things. Then we have to understand the purpose of the resurrection. Why did Jesus do this? He didn't need to do it to be God. He was already God. He had always been God and always would be God. He did not need a resurrection to do that. He didn't need a resurrection, but we needed a resurrection. The resurrection was for our justification. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, that through the power of resurrection, we have been justified. And it also has to do about our salvation in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. So the purpose of resurrection is for our redemption. It is for our justification. It is for our salvation. Then finally, there's the promise of the resurrection, the promise that this was not the end. Jesus had already told his disciples just before the garden experience, just before his arrest, before his trial, before his conviction, before his crucifixion. He said to them in John 14 that he would come back again. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. So we have the promise of the resurrection, and we have the sign of this promise that he will come again. So Easter is not about the resurrection, just about the resurrection. It's not just about the crucifixion. It is a promise of a return. He is not finished yet. Whether or not we know for sure that that's the reason for the folded napkin, but it sure does make us feel a lot better to know that there is a sign as well as a promise that he is coming again. He is not finished yet. What a beautiful day for us to worship together and to be reminded that Jesus lived for us, died for us, was buried for us, resurrected for us, ascended back to the Father for us, and is going to return one day soon for us. What a beautiful Easter celebration it would be if he would come today. If you're listening to this message and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is meaningless in the scope of eternity for you unless you make that decision. If you need to make a decision in your relationship with Christ, we encourage you to do that today. Feel free to contact us and share with us the decision you have made. We'll be glad to counsel with you the next steps that need to be taken as you begin to grow as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we close the message today, again, thank you to our church family for all you've done. You'll notice on the wall behind me all the crosses. Each of these crosses represent dollars that are given to our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Thank you again for your generous gifts. Have a blessed day with your family. Take time to worship together and to celebrate together. And we look forward to one day soon being able to worship together again. If you're watching as a guest viewer today and you live in the Rural Hall, King area, and you don't have a church home, when we're able to gather again in this place and worship together, it would be a pleasure for us to have you come and join us in worship. Have a blessed Easter celebration.